Big Rob, special guest on the line today.
Yes, sir. VIPs.
VIP on that VIP line. Yes, right. That's right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Congresswoman Shelton's on the phone line. Very busy day in Washington. How are you doing today, Congresswoman?
Hi. It's so great to be here. I'm doing okay. I don't let the Washington machine get me down. We're fighting for the people of West Michigan every day.
Wow. How do you keep up with everything? Like, I'm going between C-SPAN 1, 2, and 3 today, and it's on fire.
Oh, I'll tell you, I've got an awesome team. They keep me informed. I'm in meetings all day. We're in committee hearings. You know, I'm not glued to the TV. So we rely on our awesome team to keep us in the loop. And, you know, I got to give a shout out to the awesome House staff and leadership, too, who keeps us informed with lots of texts throughout the day.
Wow, that's good. That's good. Well, it's been a month. What can you share with us? Any news that you can share with us that might have happened in the past 30, 45 days?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's never a dull moment here in Washington. So, you know, I would say the big news, obviously, right now is the House is prepared to take a very consequential vote on national security and foreign aid package this week. You might recall that the Senate had sent over a bipartisan bill that was negotiated over the course of months. And then Speaker Johnson refused to bring up that Senate bill, but is breaking it up into various pieces, you know, 4, potentially 5 different bills that we'll be voting on well into the weekend. So the corners of that are being negotiated, and Marjorie Taylor Greene is threatening to bring another motion to vacate the chair of the speaker as a result. So that's kind of the, you know, the chaos on the main stage. But, you know, you guys know one of the things I talk a lot about is while there is absolute chaos and division in Washington, all of that is very real. I try to push past that and focus on bipartisan solutions and the things that matter to West Michigan. So even in the midst of all this chaos today, really happy to report that I got my bipartisan bill focusing on access to capital for small businesses passed unanimously out of the Small Business Committee today. And we expect that to come to the House floor during Small Business Week and hopefully get that passed. So all our small business owners tuning in, you know that access to capital is one of the, you know, the most important issues that small businesses can deal with. So, you know, my access to capital for all bill is making sure that we are getting that capital into rural and low income communities in particular. And, you know, I'm really excited about it. You know, we're just laser focused on delivering for the people of West Michigan on that issue.
That's a great bill. And you're right. Access to capital is definitely a big hurdle for small business. Go ahead, Big Rob.
Yeah. How is it being in Washington during all this chaos? I mean, I'm quite sure you walking around like a chicken with his head cut off. You got to be here. You got to be there. You got to be in this house. You got to be in this building. You got to be in this room. What is it like? I mean, give us an idea.
I'm cool as a cucumber. I'll tell you what, but it is a quick pace. I get my steps in for sure. You know, 10,000 or more steps. No problem. Usually get that knocked out by noon. And then more.
Wow. There shouldn't be nobody overweight in Congress, Dan, if that's the case. 5 and 6 is good on a good day. On a good
right.
day.
Right.
You know, the Supreme Court is looking at this January 6th inciting a riot or obstruction of justice. How do you think this is going to play out?
You know, with this Supreme Court, I think it really is anybody's guess. You know, I think we've seen some indications that, you know, the court really wants to set a clear message that political violence does not have any place in American society. We know that the justices themselves have been on the receiving end of a lot of protests and even threats to their family. And it hinders the work that justices and elected officials can do. So I hope that, you know, they look at this issue very seriously. They take the weight of their decision responsibly as we face another truly consequential and potentially deeply divisive election season here in 2024.
Wow. On the phone line, Congresswoman Hillary Shelton is on the phone line. Immigration, are we still battling this thing now? Is there going to be a bill passed, you think, this session that's going to deal with the crisis at the border?
Yeah, we hope so. You guys know I've been working on immigration for close to 20 years, and I am an original co-sponsor of a bipartisan immigration reform bill that would send $10 billion to the southern border to help us enforce our immigration laws, help keep our southern border safe and secure. This is not a game. You know, we have seen the impact of, you know, failed immigration policies back home, and you know, it's impacting our communities in real ways. You know, a couple months ago, I had the opportunity to visit the southern border, and even though I've been working on this issue for so long, I was shocked and horrified by what I saw. An absolute overwhelming situation. There are just too few individuals presenting themselves at the southern border every single day that the officers can inspect. And, you know, this notion that we can somehow just completely shut down the border is nonsense. You know, we have so many goods and services that travel across the southern border legally, right? Legally, right. Every single day. And it's impossible to just stop all of that. This is a matter of commerce. And also, we don't have to go to that extreme. We have other alternatives available. In the bipartisan national security supplemental would provide resources to put an additional 1,500 Border Patrol agents at the southern border so that they can more efficiently scan for, you know, the fentanyl that's coming across our border, interview individuals to see if, you know, they're engaging in labor trafficking or human trafficking. We need to have a procedure in place so that we can efficiently process individuals and goods and services. I was just meeting with the agricultural sector here, and they're like, we have real concerns about completely shutting down the border because, you know, we're sending things overseas. Individuals are, you know, they're sending commodities here. We don't want, invasive species getting tacked along if folks, you know, are forced to send these, you know, goods along illicit routes. We need a lawful process at the southern border.
Wow. So it's more than just what we're thinking about. It's other details that we need to know about. Well, yeah, that's never discussed, that we're sending products out too.
Yeah. No. Oh, that's, yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, and we've got to make sure that, you know, we can have a safe, efficient, and lawful process. And, you know, we're the United States of America. We can do this. We can have a process that is fair, that's safe, and that's humane as well.
Wow. On the phone line, Congresswoman Hillary Shelton, we're glad that you are our congressperson, really, because you've been available. I have never seen this much activity in Muskegon Heights by a representative of Congress, of U.S. Congress.
I love the Heights. I love the Heights. I'm going to be there next week. Can't wait to come back. I'm so excited to have this incredibly vibrant community, with just rich, rich history in our district. I was there just, you know, a few weeks ago, the last time I was back home, and we got to do all kinds of awesome tours, met with a longtime Muskegon Heights resident who, you know, came north after the Great Migration, learned to read in his 70s, you know, just incredible, incredible stories, you know, just resilience, perseverance, character, grit, the best of Michigan. Right. I can't wait to be back.
Yeah, saw you over at Reed Muskegon, and I'm like, wow, yes. That's amazing. That's amazing.
Yep, exactly right.
Big Rob, go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to ask, what kind of help is available to deal with the housing crisis?
Oh, well, you know, well, the short answer is not enough, and we're working on that. You know, I think home ownership is the key to, you know, stabilizing a lot of, you know, the housing and homelessness crisis that we're seeing across the country. And affordable housing is just such a key issue. You know, we can't build new housing nearly fast enough to accommodate these growing communities. And once it's built, you tack on the cost of inflation, labor costs, you know, these houses that are being built in new communities farther and farther out from urban areas, individuals who already live in those communities are priced out of the new houses that are being built. Then you talk about, you know, the high cost of housing in urban areas as well. You know, I look at the problem of, you know, people who are underhoused or experiencing, you know, complete homelessness as really a, you know, a two-way street, right? It's the cost of housing, but it's also, you know, the affordability aspect, whether individuals have the level of income that they need. So it's on one hand a cost of housing issue, but it's also an affordability issue. And, you know, we can increase wages. We can make sure that, you know, the cost of higher education is more affordable. You know, the Biden administration is forgiving a lot of balloon interest payments on student loans for individuals, you know, who have just had this runaway interest. So, you know, I also see that as a key component. This is good for the economy when individuals are more able to buy a home. It sends a, you know, a real boom to the real estate market. And then healthcare costs as well, doing everything we can to cap the high cost of healthcare, keeping those other expenses down, income up, so that housing can be more affordable. Because, you know, the cost of housing is just one piece of that puzzle. But the affordability aspect on the other end, you know, the income and the other costs related to that income is another huge piece of the puzzle.
Well, Congresswoman, I know you got to go. I got just a couple more questions. These will be quick ones. I don't know if you've seen over the weekend, over the past week, the people showing up at the IRS office in Georgia. They got notices that they need to come show their ID. Is that something you're seeing in Michigan, or is this something new that might have went on with Department of Treasury that we got, you know, hundreds of people showing up saying they need to show their ID in order to get their refund check?
You know, we have not really, we're obviously seeing the reports across the country. We haven't gotten a ton of constituent outreach here, but as I see these reports come in from across the country, it's certainly something that we're monitoring. You know, individuals are, you know, they are entitled to the refund that they are due. And, you know, one of the key things that I'm focused on is making sure that no one is denied a refund that they're legally entitled to. And, you know, making someone show up, you know, wrongly accusing them of not being entitled is a huge inconvenience to people. But, you know, obviously we want to make sure that we're not fraudulently giving out refunds, especially giving away someone else's refund to somebody who shouldn't have it. Right. You know, there's two key aspects there that, you know, we're keenly paying attention to. We don't want to overburden individuals, you know, who just need to get their refund that they're lawfully entitled to. But at the same time, you know, we need to make sure that there's integrity in the process and that these refunds are going where they need to.
Right. Before you go, in June, we're taking 7 kids from Muskegon to Ghana, West Africa, part of our Free Kids to Africa program. So hope I'm going to reach out to your staff and see, can we get an embassy visit? We did it back in 2017, we got a chance to see the embassy, and I think it would be very exciting for the kids.
Oh, that's incredible. Oh, that is so, so cool. Thanks for telling me about that. Our office is absolutely happy to help coordinate whatever we can there. What an incredible experience for those kids.
Well, what else you want to say to the audience before we go?
Oh, I just want to say, you know, our office is here to serve you. You know, if you need help with a federal agency, we have an incredible casework team in the district. You know, whether it's veterans benefits, Social Security, IRS, we're here for you. So you can always reach out to our office. I know you guys are going to put the number and contact information there on your website.
Yes.
We're here to serve you, West Michigan, and don't hesitate to reach out without any questions. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Congresswoman.